So the epistle for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, who according to God is created in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak ye the truth, every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Being angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your anger. Give not place to the devil. He that stole, let him now steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have something to give to him that suffereth need. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage, and they would not come. And again he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell them that were invited, behold, I prepared my dinner, my beeves and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come ye to the marriage.' But they neglected, and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the rest laid hands on his servants, and having treated them contemptuously, put them to death. But when the king had heard of it, he was angry. And sending his armies, he destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then he saith to his servants, 'The marriage indeed is ready, but they that were invited were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, call to the marriage.' And his servants, going forth into the ways, gathered together all that they found, both bad and good, and the marriage was filled with guests. And the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment?' But he was silent. Then the king said to the waiters, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Please be seated. Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we look to a theme in the Mass itself, we see that this theme is the idea of grace, of sanctifying grace for our soul. And so it's important for us to understand that concept, this idea of grace and living in the state of grace. We know that sanctifying grace, it is the life of God in our soul. We know that by one mortal sin, we lose that state of grace. And that is why in the Collect of the Mass, which normally does set the theme for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, of what the Church is trying to give to us for our contemplation, it says, "Keep us from all things that may hurt us or hinder us, and willingly fulfill those things that thou would have us done." And so it's this idea of fulfilling what God wants. God obviously wants us to save our soul. He wants us to be in the state of grace. And so by praying for that, by asking for these graces, it is a help to us in our daily life. And that is why St. Paul says in the epistle, to put on the new man, one that is created in justice and in truth. Again, this idea that is familiar to us, of putting on the new man. We think about the old man, we think about possibly our past sins, we think about the difficulties, the struggles that we've had in our lives. And so, yes, that is the old man. And so from that, we have to try to then put on a new man, one that is created in truth and in justice, justice toward Almighty God, of living our lives that is pleasing to Almighty God. And so this whole Mass, it centers on this idea of trying to be pleasing to God, of living our lives according to his laws, living our lives according to his commandments. And so the encouragement there is to help us to stay in this state of grace. And so that is why then we have this gospel account. Our Lord likens it to a wedding feast that a king calls for his son. And so the people that he calls to this wedding feast, what happens? The first people don't even come. They have their other concerns, whether they're merchandise, whatever it may be, their worldly possessions. And so they stay away from this wedding feast. And the spiritual authors are very clear on what this wedding feast means. It is a call to heaven. The wedding feast itself being this fact of heaven, the King being Almighty God. And he calls us to this. He calls every single one of us. And that is the important thing for us to understand. God has called us to heaven. And yet, we see that some people turn their back on that. They have their other concerns. They don't come. Some even to the point of laying hands on his servants. And so what does the King do? He goes out and burns their city. We have to see the parallel behind that. This King is calling us to heaven, and yet we turn our back on that. We forsake Almighty God. And so, yes, God is frustrated with that by giving us so much, by offering us all of these graces, these things, and yet we don't care. And so from that, then we see what the King says. Go out and invite everyone. So with that, it is very clear. Heaven is open to all that are willing to live the life. The call is open to every single one. That is why our Lord had said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This call to all of us. And it is through then the grace of God that we will be able to save our soul. And so that is where then we have this, it seems pretty interesting to see this correspondence between these two people, the King and then this person that has come to the wedding feast. The one doesn't say a word. And so what happens? You have this person that comes not prepared. And so the spiritual authors liken this idea, this sense of a wedding garment with sanctifying grace. And so the question becomes, he asks him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? How are you not prepared? You know, why are you not prepared? But if you see, look at the beginning of it, the King asks him, friend. He offers to him, friend, why did you come unprepared? But yet, what happens? The person doesn't say a word. He remains silent. He is silent and will not answer the King. And so what happens? Again, you see the anger of the King. I mean, is this a just anger, though? Because the King signifies God, the call to heaven. And yet you have this one that he refers to as a friend. Friend, you know, where is your wedding garment? Why are you unprepared? Why are you not in the state of sanctifying grace? And there is no answer. The man refuses to answer him. And so that is why then the King says, fine, bind him. Bind him and throw him in where there's gnashing and weeping of teeth. And so from that, we see that that is clearly hell. That is the punishment that will happen to us if we are caught without sanctifying grace. And that should be very clear to us. And yet at times, we live in that state. And if that is what happens to us, if God finds us at that point and says, friend, you know, basically, where is your wedding garment? Why are you not in the state of grace? Look at the consequences of that. The consequences are very clear to us. God has given us this call. He has asked us. He has offered to us. And yet we turn our back on that. Whether we make the analogy that we're too busy with our own things or whatever it may be, but if we stay in this state of not being in the state of grace, that is the consequence that will happen to us. And that is why our Lord has said, when he has talked about the path to heaven and the path to hell, he has used an analogy that is so clear to us by saying that it is a broad gate and a wide road that leads to perdition, and many travel it. I mean, think about that. A broad gate and a wide road. It's very enticing. But on the contrary, when we think of heaven, and our Lord has said about heaven, how small is the gate and how narrow the road, how narrow the path that it is that leads to life everlasting. And for that, it shows to us how we must stay on the right path, how easy it is for us to veer off. I've given the example to my students at times that constraints, or we consider the Ten Commandments, laws, they're like guardrails for us. Guardrails on this path. I mean, how many of us would want to travel a mountain road going high up into the mountains without anything on the sides to it? And then we see the drop that is next to it. I mean, how many of us would want to travel that path and not be worried? I mean, that is this sense and this idea. Yes, it may be a narrow path for us, but it is the straight path that leads to a life everlasting. And it may be, yes, a small gate, and few travel it. Why? Because they are too enticed by the world. They are too enticed by the other things of turning their back on the call of God. This call to the wedding feast itself. And so that is why we must try to live our lives according to God's laws, something that is pleasing to God. That's why we must pray for these graces, and especially then when we understand with this sense and this idea that this whole Mass revolves around being in the state of grace and what will happen to us if we do not. And so that is why then we see our Lord also say, or the King says in this gospel account, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called to life everlasting, but they choose not to accept that call. They are the ones that will not accept the call from Almighty God because they are too busy with their own lives. They're too busy with their own things that they have. And so when this call, when the feast, this wedding feast invitation goes out, it is up to us to accept it or not. It is up to us whether we want to accept this. And that is clearly the grace of God. That is clearly staying in the state of grace. So that is why in the post-communion we say, "May thy healing power free us from our own perverseness, our perverse inclinations, and then make us cleave to thy commandments." Again, we have this idea, this sense of we have an inclination towards sin. And so we have to fight that. We have to battle that. And how do we fight that? We stay in the state of grace, of sanctifying grace, this life of God in our soul. That is how we fight it. And so we must pray for that grace. And if, God forbid, we lose that state of grace, that is why we come to confession. That is why we must immediately come to confession. Do not take a chance on your soul. Because we know not the day nor the hour that God will call us. We have no idea when God will come and ask his friend, "Why are you not in a wedding garment? Why are you unprepared?" We have no idea when God will call us to that. And so therefore, we must pray for the graces of God. We must pray that God finds us ready. Because then that, with that, we see what God has, what he has said to those that are ready. You know, "Friend, enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.